I'm going to get you to turn to your, in your Bibles to John chapter 3. I'm going to read this chapter. I believe we don't spend enough time in the Word of God. And it has a little bit to do with my sermon. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." I only wanted a couple of verses there, but I feel we do not spend enough time with the Word of God. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this Sabbath day. Lord, we thank you for this little church here, this warm church, and we know it's cold outside. But, dear Father, send your Holy Spirit to be with me, but not only me, my brothers and sisters in this church. Open our hearts to your word this morning, dear Lord, and may you guide me as I bring a message to these dear folk. Lord, I thank you and praise you for your love and care. Amen. John chapter 3 consists of an interview between Christ and a Jewish rabbi over 2,000 years ago. But it's also, at the same time, a summary of the Creator's life and death message to every person living today. In simple words, it describes the only way in which any person can solve the problems of time and eternity. The good news for all mankind is found in John 3:16. It is said to be the greatest verse in Scripture, the most notable sentence of all literature, a sentence representing the truth most necessary for you and I to know in order to find unlimited joy and salvation today. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." Why was this thought to be the greatest verse? Because it concerns the greatest giver. Because it mentions the greatest thing in the world, love. because it refers to the greatest group. It is possible to love the world because it mentions the greatest evidence of love, giving, because it enshrines the greatest gift ever given, the Son of God, because it includes the greatest invitation, whosoever, because the only condition mentioned is of the greatest simplicity, believing, because it concerns avoiding the greatest fate, perishing, and because it promises the greatest of rewards, eternal life, to you and I. If you and I will accept and believe this verse, John 3:16 today, it will forever transform our characters and give us a great joy. The simplicity of this verse in chapter 3 is full of great joy to us. It's full of divine encouragement for you and I and instruction. It tells you and I and all mankind that God is our Creator, our Saviour and our Redeemer, who is love. It affirms that mankind has sinned and needs changing. It warns that the judgment day is coming and only those found in Christ will be saved. It says there will be no more sorrow and death. For everlasting life is to displace the reign of sorrow and death. And it sets forth simply the how of salvation. Our prisons, our courts and our hospitals all proclaim that mankind needs saving today. We need saving from the guilt of sin that comes from only genuine repentance of sorrow for sin. Through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ our Lord, it is said that the repressed guilt is the cause of at least half the disease of this world, and certainly the more than half of its sorrow today. You and I, my friends, need to be justified through the forgiveness of sin. We need to be sanctified through Jesus Christ. His character must be our character if we are to reach heaven. If we want to be glorified and live eternal with him, we must have his character, or else we will miss out. Biographies of Moody tell how the unknown preacher occupied Moody's pulpit for a week. For six nights, he preached on John 3:16. On the seventh night, every eye was upon him as he entered the pulpit. He said, "Beloved friends, I have been hunting all day for a new text, but I cannot find anything as the old one. So we will go back to John 3:16. My friends, for a whole week, I have been trying to tell you how much God loves you," he said, "but I cannot do it with this poor stammering tongue. If I could climb to Jacob's ladder," he said, "and climb up into heaven and ask Gabriel, who stands in the presence of the Almighty, to tell me how much love the Father has for the world, all he could say would be, 'For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life.'" It is true that God loves the unloving. He longs to give the best gifts to those who rarely give, and he offers forgiveness to the unforgiving. It is this which breaks man's heart and changes his world. "This man receives sinners," was a true accusation from the Pharisees regarding Jesus. The whole Bible gives evidence that Christ receives sinners, and he will receive you and I today if we give our hearts to him. Paul, who could write of God, "Who justifieth the ungodly," refuted all who said and taught that man must first become good before God will accept him. God will accept you and I today if we come to him as we are. If the world would accept John 3:16, crime, war and want would cease. Earth would become heaven. Only he who knows that God loves him can himself love others truly. Only he who receives forgiveness of his sin finds power over sin. You and I have no excuse for sinning. because we are told in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to endure. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to overcome it." A wonderful promise. John 3:16 has no strings attached. It is not telling us to initiate anything. To achieve anything for believing is a receiving, not a doing. The word believe occurs 98 times in this gospel, twice the number of times it is found in the other three gospels combined. John tells us towards the close of this book, of his book, that it was written that you and I might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This gospel should never be confused with good advice. My friends, it is good news. It does not so much concern that which we must do, but what God has done for you and I. This is why Martin Luther launched the Reformation when he inserted the word sola. That is alone in Romans 3:28. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3:28. "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith alone, without the deeds of the law." What is this believing? The whole Gospel of John is dedicated to the answering of the question, believing is seeing, according to John 3:11. It is coming, according to John 6:35. It is receiving, according to John 1:12. It is believing, according to John 14:1. It is acting on the word of Jesus, regardless of feelings or appearances, according to John 4:48 to 53. Believing is giving up self and living a Christ-like life. It is taking Jesus Christ into account in everything that we do and say. What and he who is, what he has done for the world, and what he is doing for those who believe in him, and what he has promised yet to do for you and I. The best news for you and I today, and all mankind, is the moment any person puts their faith and trust in Christ, they are freed from all condemnation, past, present, and future. For as long as they believe, despite many falls and failures, which sometimes happens to you and I, their sins are not laid to their charge. John's Gospel, as with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tells us that Christ's hands were pierced for the wrong things our hands have done. His feet was spiked because of our wanderings and the wrong places we have gone. His brow was pierced because of the wrong thoughts we have cherished. His side was wounded near his heart because of the wrong things we have loved. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. God made him that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And therefore Christ is now to us wisdom and righteousness, our sanctification and redemption. The penalty of the broken law, my friends, which is as sacred as God himself, has been paid for by that wonderful sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of God, on Calvary. And God will not ask us to pay it a second time. It was paid for on that Friday afternoon, some 2,000 years ago, by the one who died for all mankind. What is my relationship with Jesus today? What is your relationship with Jesus today? If Jesus was to come in this next week, would you and I be ready? Or would we be found wanting? Or could we honestly look up and say, "This is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us"? I hope that is our prayer. It is our relationship with him that will determine our destiny. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God. The last verse in this chapter also contains good and bad news. He who believes in the Son of God has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. What does Jesus tell Nicodemus he must do, which also applies to you and myself? Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again," Jesus said. Here we are told that without transformation of heart, no one will live forever. These words were not spoken to Mary Magdalene, who had been living in sin, but to the wise, respectable churchman, Nicodemus. He needed to be born again, and so do you and I, my brothers and sisters. We need the same experience as Nicodemus needed. It has been said that both Wesley and Moody were often asked, "Why do you constantly preach on the text, 'You must be born again'?" Their answer was always the same, "Because you must." It is interesting to the second time the word "must" is used in John 3 answers the need created by the first. In John chapter 3, 14 and 15, let's turn to it. 14 and 15, chapter 3. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Yes, my friends, how much do we lift Jesus up in our weekly toils? We need to lift him up more so people can see that we have a loving and living Saviour. Christ was placed on the cross and made sin for you and I. Just as Moses was told to make a brazen replica of the venomous snakes which were destroying the Israelites, that replica erected on a cross became the object of healing to all who looked by faith. The Israelites were not to look at their wounds or Moses, but to look at the brazen serpent. We are not to be overcome with discouragement by considering our sins or the law we have transgressed. Healing is only found in Jesus Christ, my friends. There are 8 miracles found in the gospel, in John's Gospel, and all tell us of transformation. In John 2, 1-10, from sadness to gladness. In John 4, 46-54, from disease to health. John 5, 5-9, from paralysis to activity. John 6, 5-14, if you want these texts, I'll give them to you later, from hunger to satisfaction. John 8, 3-11, from agitation to peace. John 9, 1-12, from darkness to light. John 11, 38-44, from death to life. And 21, 1-14, from failure to success. Over and over again, John is saying Christ's word is as good as his presence. Receive his word today and have the character of Jesus, and you will be ready to go to heaven. The all-sufficiency of Jesus is found in the whole of John's Gospel. John 4:26, "I am," Jesus meets our need of a divine Saviour. John 6:35, "I am the bread of life," meets our soul's hunger. John 8:12, "I am the light of the world," meets our darkness. John 10:7, "I am the door of the sheep," meets our homelessness. John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd," meets our helplessness. John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and life," meets our death. John 13:13, I am your teacher and Lord, meets our dependence. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth and the life, meets our need of salvation. John 15:1, I am the true vine, meets our need for a living united to God. John 18:5, I am Jesus of Nazareth, meets our need of human redeemer, of a human redeemer who is divine. There was a third must in John 3:30. John says, he must increase, but I must decrease. But God justifies no man he cannot sanctify. The evidence that you and I believe in Jesus and have been born again is the ever-likeness of Christ dwelling in our life, in all that we do and say, having a Christ-like character, which is the most important thing. Sin is essential selfishness. Instead of self dominating our life and controlling every thought and action, the greatest thing that we can do for our Heavenly Father is to commit ourselves wholly to him each day and be born again through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In so doing, we will be Christ's ambassadors, becoming channels of heaven's bounty, eternal life, to all mankind. And this is what the world is waiting for, us to be Christ's true representatives. The key word in John 3:16 is whosoever. Jesus gave all for all mankind. Let us start today by putting Jesus first, others second, and ourselves last. In all that we do and say, this will give us everlasting joy. John Bunyan is said to have said, if God had said that he loved the world, that John Bunyan might have everlasting life, I would have then thought he meant some other John Bunyan, not this poor tinker. But when Jesus says, whosoever, I know he means me. Jesus paid it all, my friends, and all to him we owe. Jesus is saying to you and I today, come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whosoever, in John 3:16, my friends, it means me, it means you, and it means all mankind. Come to Jesus today. Whosoever will may come, and to him that cometh, to me I will no wise cast out. Don't delay, my friends. Consecrate your life to Jesus today. Believe, receive, and live, and look for eternity. Amen.